Hello and welcome to the very first live watch along done by the Grid Talk podcast. It's less of a podcast for the people who are actually going to be listening to this after qualifying. Just know that this is going to be less of our normal podcast format, and it's going to be more just a conversation between us as we watch the US Grand Prix live. This is the first time that we've ever done it. We'd really appreciate feedback and basically let us know how this goes. This is very new for all of us. But this is technically episode 144 of the Grid Talk podcast, and we are going to be watching live the US Grand Prix qualifying. I'm Louis Edwards, and just everyone to just introduce themselves. So, Owain, start with you. Introduce yourself to the viewers.
Hello, everyone. You'll obviously see me before on Grid Talk hosting sometimes and as a panelist, but also I write for Sportlight Pro.
Aaron, would you like to talk to us?
Yep. Hello, my name's Aaron. I've been on the Grid Talk podcast before as a panelist, and I have my own podcast as well, which is called The Five Red Lights, which you can find on YouTube.
And finally, we've got Tom.
Hello, yes. So I am from Everything F1. You can find us on all your social media platforms, which are with the handle at Join the F1 website, everythingf1.com, our Facebook group, the Everything F1 Paddock, and our podcast, which is the Everything F1 Podcast, which you can find on our website, on iTunes, Spotify, and all your favorite podcasting platforms.
Welcome, everyone. So we've still got about just under 10 minutes before qualifying starts. So I think the most important thing, we've already had the comment from Connor Walker in the chat. What are our predictions for this Grand Prix? For this qualifying, I should say. Owain, give me who for you is going to be on the front row come the end of this qualifying.
I think the pretty obvious answer is going to be it'll probably on the front row. It'll probably be Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton. Maybe not in that order, but it's all up to play for. I thought it was going to be a walkover for Mercedes on Friday, but in practice earlier we saw that Red Bull has come back. They've clearly done some setup work overnight, and it's looking a lot closer now.
Aaron, would you agree with Owain?
I think it's going to be an all Mercedes front row. I think Mercedes have got something extra up their sleeve. This clever sort of squatting mechanism they've got in the rear suspension, I think it might just give them a little bit of an advantage over one lap, especially down the back straight. I don't think they showed their full hand in practice three. So, and Bottas has got a completely fresh ICE in there, and Hamilton has only done the race distance in Turkey, which was a lower power sort of usage because it was wet. So that said, Verstappen's has only done two race distances, so it's still was to play for. Wouldn't surprise me if Owen's prediction of Hamilton and Verstappen front row is entirely correct.
And Tom, so we've had Verstappen, Hamilton, pretty obvious. We've had all Mercedes. What are you going to go for?
I think Haas is going to put it out of the bag for their home race. Realistically, Red Bull have definitely made some setup changes, certainly from Friday to Saturday, or even between FP1 and FP2, but especially coming in today with how good Mercedes have been around this track in a Friday morning, which is to go by. And arguably with the momentum swing for Hamilton, I would say Hamilton will qualify on pole. So it's closely followed by Max. And then I do reckon Bottas will round out the top three, even though he's taking that engine penalty. I still think he'll be up there.
Yeah, engine penalties is something I think we should touch on. No matter where they qualify, it's a guarantee that Russell, Vettel, and who's the other person?
Alonso,
Russell. That's it. They will all be starting from the back. They have taken, I believe they've all taken completely new engines. So regardless of what they do in qualifying, they are going to be at the back. As both Aaron and Tom have mentioned, Valtteri Bottas has a 5-place grid penalty for a new internal combustion engine. And if you're confused on why it's 5 instead of 10, like Hamilton had in Turkey, it's because this is Bottas's 6 ICE. Yeah. While it was only Hamilton's 4th. So you're allowed 3. If you take a 4th, it's 10. If you take any more than that, it's 5. It's backwards. It's wrong. We know. But it's just the way that F1 likes to operate. Conor Walker's brought up actually like a very good point. No love for Perez. Perez has been quite quick. He topped FP3. Granted, Hamilton and Verstappen both had their laps deleted, but Perez has looked quick. Is anyone not going to put him to maybe get front row?
I was very, very close to putting... Sorry, I've jumped in on this one. That's a very good point by our... by our resident fan, Mr. Walker. So thank you very much for that. Sorry, my computer's going nuts. I just got bings and bongs left, right, and centre. It sounds like a Honda engine. I very, very nearly put Perez in the top three, but I just think with the Mercedes on how it's going this weekend, and I said it for Hamilton, I'll say it even more for Bottas, the momentum he's carrying. Obviously, he won last time out in Turkey. He scored the most points out of, I think it's the top 5 or 6 drivers since he signed that contract for Alfa. Obviously, the incident at Monza does perhaps skew those results a little bit. But just with the momentum for that, Perez, I think, will come close. He does seem to be getting more comfortable in that Red Bull. And now that Adrian Newey is back, who I didn't even realise had an accident, he's apparently identified flaws in that Red Bull as well, which, although Max was able to drive around, perhaps Perez wasn't able to as such because he's not as accustomed to the car and the setup and all the rest of it.
I would also say on Perez, the reason we probably all didn't put him in on the front row or in the top three is because subconsciously we all know that the other three have that single lap pace versus Perez. He's statistically and generically and not a strong qualifier. Of course, he had a front row in Imola and he's had some other good performances, but he's a Sunday man, isn't he? So, yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, he's certainly capable of pulling it out of the bag, but I can't see it, personally.
And Wayne, you also didn't go with Perez. Any idea of where he may come, because he has been showing good pace.
I don't know, it's probably P4 or P5, to be honest, for me. You know, that's where I sit. Unfortunately, you know, I think Aaron hit the nail on the head there. You know, I heard, it's years ago now, but it was a bit of commentary off, I think it was Radio Le Mans, when they did a watch-along, funnily enough, for 2008. And they said, you know, Jarno Trulli, for example, is someone who can qualify but can't race. And David Coulthard was someone who, you know, is less good at qualifying, but can race. And I think that's very much Perez falls into that latter category. You know, he's clearly got skills with the Pirelli tyres that seem to suit him, where other people don't. But unfortunately, he doesn't seem to be able to extract that one lap pace that we look for.
Yeah, it has, can be an issue for Perez, but he seems to be dealing with the roller coaster ride, which is... Austin, I think we could probably all agree it's one of Herman Tilke's better tracks that he's added to the F1 calendar. It's quite a demanding track. I'll come to you, Todd. You know, it's very bumpy. It's especially that first sector. It's high speed. You've got to look after your tyres through this lap. It may sound weird for qualifying, but nursing your tyres through this lap could be the key to, you know, being 5th or 15th.
Yeah, Kota is notoriously bumpy. If you look at some of the onboards, you can see the cars oscillating as they're going around the track. It's like, I don't know if anybody's seen the visor cam from Ocon's car, but when he was, even when he was going down the main straight, his head was bouncing around in there. And it's just, and you can see the car actually ricocheting as it was going over the bumps. In terms of the track itself, is you can definitely see it's got elements of. I think it was Mercedes actually put out a tweet earlier saying that the first sort of like, I think, is it turns three to five or 4 and 5 of course, you know, the sort of like snaking S section. Yeah. They said it's like maggots and Beckett's. To me, that feels a bit more like the S's at Suzuka. But I suppose you can see similarities between all three. Excuse me. Also, there's definitely a sort of a strong element of turn 8 from Turkey in turns sort of 14 to 16, I think it is. And then also very much an aspect of Hockenheim at the circuit. Also, Kota has got, I really like turn 1 at Kota, as we have a green light and we have both Haas heading out and
Mr. the Russian Roll. Cars out for their home Grand Prix.
I'm 5 seconds away from even starting this. This is great.
Yeah. I mean, me and Aaron have already seen it.
Aaron's message.
I was like, I think I was only like 6 seconds behind you, Aaron.
I've got Charles Leclerc on my screen now.
Yeah, he's just popped up on mine now.
Just going back to Kota very quickly. So I'm gonna mute Crofty a second. I really like Kota. It's definitely got obviously Tilke gets a lot of stick for his circuits, but the sort of almost hairpin at turn one, I really like the oscillations, what's the word for when a track goes up and down in terms of height?
Undulations.
Thank you very much. You can tell it's late in the UK. it's all in all, I really like it.
It is a good track. I do quite like it. And Aaron, it's going to be hot. It is hot in Austin. We see the drivers now going out onto the soft tires, but for Q1 and Q3, they may be the tires, but when the drivers get into Q2, I think they're going to be a bit redundant considering how hot it's meant to be tomorrow and just how demanding this track can be.
Yeah, it's going to be a no-brainer for Mercedes and Red Bull to get on the medium tyres and nail it in Q2. The soft tyres might hang on in the race because they've been talking through practice about how well they've been hanging on, which has surprised me, really. At the moment, it doesn't look quite as sunny or hot as it did yesterday afternoon or this morning. I say this morning. It's 10 o'clock at night here.
This afternoon.
No, it's about 5 p.m. Yeah.
Earlier in the day. Because like you say about the demanding nature of the track, that first sector absolutely brutalizes the front tires. And you need those for the final sector because you need to get rotation through that twisty bit at the end of sector 2, where the sector 3 begins. And then you've got the long right-hander, the reverse of turn 8 in Turkey, which then just kills all of the tires, which is why we see them running wide when they get to turn 19 and having their laps deleted if they haven't already. So it is a real test of managing your tyres, having the car set up to manage the tyres for this one lap, extracting as much pace as possible, but also then giving yourself something to work with in the race. Mm-hmm. So how each driver goes about that in Q2 will be quite interesting, because even on the mediums, if you hit them hard, you might then still handicap yourself for the start of the race and you might not be able to run quite as far in and maybe even corner yourself into that two-stop strategy.
Yeah, there have been talks of a potential two-stop, which I'm all for. I love it when you can multiple strategies in Formula One. But it's definitely going to depend on how kindly the drivers treat their tyres, especially through Sector 1, as you said. Finally, I'm going to talk about track limits. Everyone's favourite subject in Formula One.
It's a mess, is it not?
But this, to be honest, I will give fair play to the race stewards and race directors. They are very sort of strict with it here at COTA. Turn 9, turn 19 are the two places where it's very clear the white line is defined. The track, you can't run over it, otherwise your lap will be deleted. We've seen pretty much all drivers fall victim to track limits so far, and especially Verstappen and Hamilton. You know, how much is that going to play on drivers' minds? You know, there is potential that they're going to lose laps. It puts their entire rhythm, you know, completely out of flow, and what, you know, it can ruin someone's qualifying.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it matters less maybe if you're a bit behind, but you know, it really matters for the two at the front. And if you're, you know, if you're in a close battle, midway through, like, you know, in the midfield, it's obviously going to be a little bit more difficult to make those places back. You know, obviously you can overtake at Kota. That's, you know, something that's good, is that it's, you know, it's a track with long straights and big braking zones, and the corners are set up in such a way that, luckily, you know, that it's a successful version of Herman Tilke's sort of idea of keeping the road quite wide and then filtering it down to the apex, which isn't so successful at other tracks, but here it's worked quite well. You know, it's obviously a lot better to qualify higher up. So you do have to be careful, especially, you know, top of the hill, you know, up to turn 9. That's actually somewhere where you can get a lot of gusty weather. We had that earlier today, and it's just one of those things that just puts you on edge, and you either get lucky and can push the car up to those limits, or you get unlucky. And if you are on the side of caution, you're giving away lap time. So it's not easy for the drivers at all.
Yeah, right. So we've just seen the first laps being completed now. Verstappen is currently topping the time with a 1:34.5. Perez only half a tenth behind him, did set a purple final sector. And the two Mercedes are just now they're in the middle of their flying laps. Bottas being held up by a...
Bottas got traffic.
A tremendous amount of traffic in
sector. It's like the M25 for Bottas.
It's going to... Those sorts of places are going to play on your mind, though, isn't it, when you turn in? Because it's just that's, you know,
it's that split seconds. And you know, obviously, if you think of the speed differential between their cars when they're going, apologies if I'm not looking at the camera because it's on my monitor here.
I was going to say, yeah. we'll be looking away, unfortunately.
Yeah, so if I'm not
staring... the sides of our head.
Yeah, if I'm not staring deep into your soul, I apologize and I'll make it up to you. But, yeah, but you know, if you're approaching a breaking point and you're thinking, you know, I need to stamp on the anchors here. If you then got someone there, even if they don't actively get in your way, there's definitely a good chance that he could. He's had it again on the approach to turn 19. Apologies, Louis. You know, you'll probably just ruin it again for you.
I say, I've already seen this.
Oh, sorry.
It's really dumb, but it's, you know, even on the game, even playing, you know, sort of racing games, you just don't quite know what the other person's going to do, and it's just going to be in your head, and you know, that's where you're never quite as fast, I don't think.
So both Mercedes have completed their flying laps now. Bottas goes third. He did set a purple middle sector. The Mercedes looking particularly particularly good in the middle sector. The first and final sectors where the Red Bull tends to shine. So he goes third. He's just over a tenth off. And Lewis Hamilton, a further tenth and a half off Bottas in fourth.
Ricciardo's gone purple in the first sector.
He has gone purple in the first sector.
I wonder if Bottas had traffic in the first sector.
Almost certainly.
He was four tenths down.
Hamilton would have had same traffic.
We saw the traffic. We saw the traffic from Bottas. Bottas was, he's out first, I believe. He is.
I think whoever's elected to clean up.
Oh, go on, Daniel. Sorry, Owen. And sorry, Tom.
Go on, you watch it live and you still get spoilers.
God damn it, Lee.
I broke the one rule that we set at the beginning.
I wouldn't worry about it too much.
So, oh, Daniel, go on, Daddy Rick.
Oh, no. No, I honestly think actually they were complaining in first practice at least, and they've complained less about it as the weekend's gone on. They were complaining about like the rear's getting a bit too hot. The rear's getting a bit too hot. And I think it might be to do with the fact that obviously, the car's bouncing up on the bumps and then it's coming back down, and that's forcing the tyres obviously to re-grip with extra lateral load. They must have tuned it out.
Awful traffic.
I mean, we've just, I don't know if you've just seen it, Owain, on board with Sebastian Vettel, but sort of Aaron as we sort of talk about traffic.
Oh God, you know, it's every apex you'd want to be on.
Yeah, I can't hear the team radio. I'll be honest, I'm listening to it on mute.
I've got it on very quietly in my headphones.
So team radio
was not
that
happy.
No. I heard that. That team radio was reminiscent of Seb when was it?
Would it have been Abu Dhabi in about 20?
No, it was 12? It was Russia in 2016.
Oh, after the Kvyat crash.
Yeah.
After Kvyat went Hadouken and put him in the wall.
I only remember the Abu Dhabi one because he was behind. I think it was Jaime Alguersuari, and he, you know, went off into the DR. He like clipped the DRS board.
I know, that was Ricardo, yeah, wasn't it? Board. He was behind Ricardo.
Oh yeah, but he's one of the Toro Rossos, and you know, he was just like stopping all the time. It was like he'd never been. It was. I felt really bad for him, but it was back when I didn't like Seb so much, and it was, you know, you could tell that he was, you know, that he was. It was just almost like, you know, it wasn't like he was used to it.
No, it does seem like the track is perhaps rubbering in quite a lot.
Mm.
Yeah, that's going to help the tyres, especially towards Q3.
Yeah,
they'll really be able to push then.
I wonder if we're going to see quite an improvement in lap times over the last sort of 3 minutes.
It's really Q1.
I mean, Verstappen is on a second lap here. He has gone green in the first sector. He's, spoilers, but he's gone green in the second sector as well. Only a tenth down currently on Daniel Ricciardo going into the final sector, which we know that Max will be quicker. Probably expect him to go fastest. But it does definitely look like the track's rubbering in. The sun is very much out. I imagine the track temperature is going to be climbing.
Sorry, I'm just like watching the house and it just doesn't look happy at all.
It doesn't, does it?
It looks skittery.
And then we go. Actually, Verstappen went slower in his final sector.
Thanks, Louis.
It was good. I was just on a good flow of where I was in the.
Have you got that sort of line vertically on that camera?
I had that on the Haas. I didn't know if it was just that's how bad their aero is, just messing up the camera or what, but it was definitely sort of like moving. Also, speaking of bad camera, I'm just going to alter my light because I look like I'm...
I was going to say, I do apologise for the poor lighting. It's literally just the fact that there's no daylight as normal.
I have a beautiful ring light.
Those are fast laps from the McLarens there.
Yeah,
like, I was gonna bring up and get your guys' opinions on the McLarens. You know, Daniel Ricciardo, I'll wait a bit, but he's up there, and Lando Norris is also up there. I was just waiting for you guys to see Perez's second lap.
Conor Walker, well played.
Yeah. So Sergio Perez, I don't know if you've seen away, is about to go second. putting Daniel Ricciardo in third and then Lando Norris in fourth.
And the gap's getting bigger.
Stroll had horrible understeer there coming sort of round. I don't think that counts as turn 18. You could literally see him fighting the wheel there.
Yeah, he's put so much lock on.
Yeah.
Is that a deletion there? I don't know because I don't know if it is. I thought it was. I didn't know if it was white line or
it's the white line.
Okay, it must be turn 9. No, sorry, it's turn 6 where you have to keep something on part of the car on the curbs.
Although, to be fair, they've got to 19
white lines. They've got to police it though here because I remember in the IndyCar a couple of years ago, you saw them going, yeah, just fully off the track.
Track, yeah.
They may as well have been. They may as well have been in Mexico.
It may as well have been Fernando Alonso in Russia.
So just before they go back out on their next runs, I wanted to point out a trend that's carried on at the moment in Q1 from FP3, which is Sainz like in another district to Leclerc.
Yeah,
Charles is ninth, nearly a second off the pace, and Sainz is up in fifth, just over 0.2 off of the fastest time at the moment. Which for another guy who's generally not considered an outstanding qualifier, that's some effort.
Yeah.
Against Leclerc as well, who is.
Yeah. Who is a good qualifier. Very good qualifier.
So, with 4 minutes left to go, just under now, the drivers are coming out for their final runs. I'll give you a quick run through of where the drivers are at currently in Q1. We've got Verstappen and Perez.
P1 Louis.
followed by the two McLarens of Ricciardo and Norris. Then we have Carlos Sainz in fifth. Bottas is ahead of Hamilton. He's in sixth, Hamilton seventh, Gasly in eighth, Leclerc in ninth, Tsunoda, you know, in tenth, not too shabby. Vettel in 11th, Giovinazzi in 12th, Stroll is 13th, Russell 14th, Esteban Ocon is the last of, well, who would survive. And then in the, well, the danger zone at the moment is Fernando Alonso in 16th, Latifi in 17th, Mick Schumacher in 18th, and then Raikkonen and Mazepin, I believe, don't have lap times as they were deleted for various track limits.
No, Mazepin's just awful.
Quick shout out to the fire octopus on the inside of the back.
I've just seen that. That is weirdest looking thing. Wait, away. Oh, you are in for a treat. Yeah, when this
you are in for a treat.
I was gonna say, what's that about? Keep Austin weird.
There's loads of inflatable mushrooms.
Oh, I've just seen it. Okay, yep.
That is like something. Have any of you ever played the game Watch Dogs?
No. Well, yes
and no. That reference will be lost on you though.
It reminds me of something from Doctor Who.
Well, like the Macra or...
I'm not a big Doctor Who fan. It just looks like something would fit there.
Yeah. It looks like something I would expect to see from, like, Robot Wars back in the day.
Oh, brilliant. Robot Wars with Craig Charles, Jonathan Pierce on the commentary.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Oh, why, Louis, are you old enough to remember that?
Yeah, love Robot Wars.
I remember Robot Wars.
I've been to see Robot Wars.
I'm 21, but I do know what Robot Wars is. it's a good show, and I'd watch it on Dave, and then it got put onto Challenge.
So. Yeah, it's the greatest TV show I've ever watched.
I used to watch Robot Wars to this day.
You see, the problem is I've watched BattleBots more recently, and while the actual show is worse, the problem is it's ruined old Robot Wars because they're so slow in comparison. Obviously now they've got, like, you know, lithium ion batteries and all that sort of thing, but back then they just
anyway, back onto the F1 that we are watching currently.
It's engineering related. I can still talk about it.
None of the top five have gone out again, so Verstappen, Perez, Ricciardo, Norris and Sainz all opting to stay in for this second runs, but both Mercedes have felt the need to go out again.
Yeah,
I think they just want a clear lap.
Yeah.
Traffic-wise, they should. Oh, well, I say they should have it, but they might not actually. Just depending on where that tail end of those cars come out.
Yeah, from my map that I can see, there is quite a lot of bunching at turn 19 right now, which I think they will miss. If I'm being completely honest, I think they may just avoid it.
I think there was some. I think there was wheel spin for Hamilton on the way out of turn one. It just looks a bit squirrely. I don't like this close camera angle. They're getting too close with the camera angles. You can't actually see what's going on.
I'm really sorry. My dehumidifier's just kicked in. It sounds like someone is gurgling mouthwash behind me.
I genuinely can't hear it.
Well, Hamilton has gone green microphone for in sector one. He has improved. We haven't seen what Bottas has been able to do so far. There was a yellow flag.
Did he? They shouldn't encounter it.
Span from what I could see on the mini map.
Odds on it being Giovinazzi.
I think
it was Giovinazzi. Martin Brundle's just said.
I was going to say that just happened right in my ears.
I want to say that throws a cat amongst the pigeons.
Raikkonen's not getting out of Q1. He is yellow in first, yellow in second.
And you're going to finish it? Yellow over the line.
Yeah, and purple over the line, yeah.
He is out. He is no surprise. But with all the grid penalties, he'll have a decent starting position tomorrow.
It'll probably be about P4 at this, right?
Both Hamilton and Bottas could not improve. They did improve, but it was only
slightly ahead
of Bottas. Not by much.
Yeah, they've stayed seventh and eighth.
Do you reckon they went out on the same set of tyres?
Probably. Possibly.
Yeah, I think they were old tyres. I think I heard on the commentary. Leclerc goes fastest.
Ocon's in trouble.
By almost 0.2 of a second. Oh, goodness. Latifi.
Latifi's not done well. Ocon's lap wasn't brilliant, but Alonso's wasn't brilliant either. Vettel, ooh, who's got a penalty.
Yes,
he's done all right there.
He needs to improve. He's not gone faster at all.
Mazepin, shock, is last, followed by Mick Schumacher, who puts it in a very nice 19th. So it's only down to Lance Stroll.
Yeah, he's only done 13th. That's not great. He does improve, but Alonso goes 14th. I think that's just the pace of the Alpine, to be honest.
It was a good final sector for Ocon. It was a personal best.
I genuinely think that's just the pace of the Alpine, because those, you know, both of them are so close.
I mean, they've also been outqualified there by Russell.
Mm.
So I mean, Stroll, who is going to be the final driver out, he's actually not completed his lap. He's come straight into the pits.
Well, if he knows he's getting knocked out, then probably not much point, is there?
Yeah. So the five drivers who have been eliminated are Nikita Mazepin, shock, in P20. Then it's Mick Schumacher in 19th. Then it's Kimi Raikkonen in the Alfa Romeo, followed by Nicholas Latifi in the Williams, and then finally Lance Stroll. So another Q2 appearance for George Russell. Fair play to him. And Antonio Giovinazzi goes through despite spinning it out.
Let's have a look at this. Turn one. Yeah.
It was a dodgy spin.
Yeah. He kept a point in the right way, though, but a huge flat spot on that front left by the looks of it.
He's lucky,
lucky to get out of Q1, considering he'd blown his lap not even 20 seconds into it.
So, guys, that's the end of Q1. Just have a quick summary. So, Owain, you know, Mercedes just, well, don't look it. They just don't.
Yeah, they've steadily got slower as the weekend's gone on. It's kind of weird. Not slower, just less quick. For whatever reason, they seem to be, you know, maybe they're holding a lot back, but, you know, they just don't seem to have it in the way they did, or the way I would have predicted a day or two ago. You know, it's kind of weird, actually, how they've lost performance. Maybe it's the heat. It could be the heat.
You know. Aaron, Charles Leclerc topped Q1. It was a solid lap from the Ferraris. The Ferraris and McLarens, they're going to be hard to separate through this qualifying.
Yeah, and based on that performance, how close can they get to the front two teams, especially if they're qualifying on mediums? I mean, if they get anywhere near them on the front of the grid, they could be in with a chance of causing some havoc at turn one. And we know turn one at COTA, because of its uphill slope, you can brake late. It's quite wide. That could get interesting tomorrow. I think that's a bit of a red herring, though, from Ferrari and McLaren. I don't think they'll actually be quite that close in terms of lap time. But it's nice to see Charles up there. And it's going to be really, really close between those. It looks like Ricciardo's on it, because he was fairly close to Norris's time. He may have even been ahead.
I think he was ahead, yes.
Yeah, so Daniel Ric looks like he's on it this weekend. Sainz doing a great job as well. Didn't need to go out for that second run. Charles did, which is why he's ended up fastest. So all to play for in that battle.
Yeah, and Tom, Red Bull, they're looking quick. Both Max and Perez. It's what they need right now.
Yeah, I'm beginning to swallow my words a little bit from what I said probably about half an hour ago. I do think the Mercedes pace is a little bit not truly representative, because they went out on used tyres and they might have had a bit of traffic, although I didn't see any traffic on Hamilton's lap.
The second runs were very clean,
yeah. So Red Bull have worked on their setup or whatever to get it. Sorry, I'm freezing the fans. Red Bull have evidently done their homework over the course of the weekend, and some really, really good runs from them. Really good run from Perez, which is nice to see, because like we mentioned earlier, he's usually been Mr. Sunday. You know, not so much a strong qualifier. McLaren's fantastic pace. Wasn't necessarily expecting that, but in hindsight, I probably should have been with how good they've been this weekend. Nice runs from the Ferraris at the end as well. Possibly helped a bit by the track rubbering in. So I think come the end of qualifying, we might not see them perhaps quite that high up. But yeah, some So, well, Q1's always Q1, isn't it? You're pretty much odds on both Haas to go in out. Nothing against the drivers, even Mazepin, but that car is just atrocious. I mean, I'm not an F1 driver. I don't think I'd want to know. I know I wouldn't fit in an F1 car. So I don't obviously know the exact ins and outs of it, but when you see it go on the circuit, you can see how terrible it is. Raikkonen, unfortunate. I think he had a lap. I think he had a lap time deleted.
Yeah,
but that Alpha, not much better. Latifi, just he's there. It was a bit of a poor run by Stroll. Stroll just didn't look happy with the car at all. It was like that onboard I saw of him when he literally saw him fighting the understeer. It was it was pretty atrocious. As we load into Q2.
Yeah, so the green light has just gone on Q2. Both Mercedes out straight away, as you'd expect, on the medium tyre. It's weird. I think it's the three drivers who have, are going to the back of the grid. They all got into Q2, so fair play to them, despite the fact that they will be starting 20th, 19th and 18th, respectively. So I wouldn't expect to see much running from either Vettel, Alonso or Russell in this session. Median tyres opted. We've already discussed this before, but it does look like they are going to be the good race tyre, along with possibly the hards tomorrow.
So Sergio Perez is out on the softs at the moment.
Oh, is he?
Everybody else. Sainz is on softs. Leclerc's on mediums, Gasly's on mediums, Ocon's on mediums, apparently. For some reason, that's optimistic. Yeah. Thinking he's getting into Q3.
Yeah.
Question
for the panel, and apologies, Louis, from stealing your thunder.
It's less than work I have to do.
Do you think, with obviously both Mercs have gone straight out, do you think Red Bull will be playing some games by then sending Perez out as well to maybe try and disrupt the air, get in the way a little bit? Do you think there's maybe a little bit of mind games going on?
They've got the driver tracker map up on the screen at the moment, and Perez isn't close enough to disrupt the lap.
He's far behind.
That's a no then, because Verstappen is actually closer.
I was going to say you say that, but the thing is, they'll come up on Paris first, and they're doing like very, very slow outlaps. We're doing 3 minutes up to, which is like, obviously it's double the length of a standard lap. I think it's quite conceivable that they could actually come across Perez in a really annoying place. Like,
well, that is maybe what I was somewhat thinking.
I was going to say they could end up getting him at like turn 19, which is just a really annoying place to have him.
Yeah.
Personally, I'd like, as I see on my driver track, on the where I'm just saying, Perez is not going to be an issue for he's going around the final corner now. He's doing his lap. I think the decision to maybe send that Perez on the soft tyres, because if and if you saw in practice, he was doing his long runs on the hard tyres. He was not doing his long runs on the mediums. I think it's pretty clear from the get-go that Red Bull were thinking some alternative strategy for Perez. And if he does indeed set a very competitive lap on these soft tyres, it's likely these are the ones he's going to be starting the race on. So he could be looking to see how well the softs hold on. Aaron, you mentioned earlier that the softs were holding on better. Could he do softs, hards, maybe then make it a two-stop with then another soft at the end?
Well, it is Sergio Perez, so he could work something like that. I'm not sure it would really be quicker than the mediums, because at some point those softs will drop off, and they will drop off rapidly.
It is worth pointing out, have you seen who's purple in sector one?
Russell?
It was a while ago. It was Russell.
Currently, I've got it as Sainz.
Oh, well.
Sorry. There we go.
Were you talking about Verstappen, who was purple?
Yeah, I was, yeah. He's still purple on my screen.
Just live in blissful ignorance until you see it as Sainz.
He's going to say he'll be purple on my screen for a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Hamilton is faster than Bottas there. Although, then again, oh, that's a third of a second. That's quite large. That's a lot. That's quite.
That is a big gap.
I don't know where that. Like, I don't know where Red Bull have got this from. Unless they were, I don't know. They were faster. They were faster this morning.
Oh, right, big spur in the works from Sergio Perez. Lap time's just been deleted.
He was slower anyway, but yeah.
Yeah, but his lap time was deleted for track limits at turn 19 to the second to last, the exit of the second to last corner. Seen that quite a lot. And just to add insult to injury, Daniel Ricciardo's lap time has also been deleted, this time for track limits at turn 9.
I've just had a thought as to why Russell, Alonso, Vettel, and who else has got the penalty.
Russell, Alonso, Vettel, yeah, those three.
Yeah, the reason for that.
Five place.
Yeah, well, I think the reason for that is that, remember, if you go for an engine change and you get put at the back of the grid, then it's then decided on where you qualify as to who starts ahead of who. So, and yeah, that might be worth it, you know, just to, you know, obviously Russell can on his day fight with Alonso and people like that, so. Mm. That just might be
scenes when George out qualifies Fernando and Saab to qualify 18.
Well, it's not by much that I've just seen the replay of that turn 19 infraction. It's really not by much.
And you'll see Daniel Ricciardo's just going to creep up immediately after.
Okay, right. That's a little harsh. It's half an inch. Like I totally agree with the application of the rules, but it's half an inch. Like Daniel Ricciardo's is a little bit further. I don't think you're gaining time there, to be honest.
I mean, we've seen it with Lando Norris at Imola. How wide was he of the white line when his lap time got deleted and potentially stopped him from going on the front row? We are talking about marginal gains in Formula One, and running that wide can find you maybe half a tenth, and especially when the pack is, you know, this close, you know, half a tenth could be everything.
That's true.
So we're about halfway through the session now. I think all drivers have completed at least one flying lap. Well,
some have had those deleted.
Yeah, some have been deleted. Some have stayed. I think all the drivers in the bottom five have had lap times deleted. So Perez, Ricciardo, Russell, Vettel, and Giovinazzi have all had their lap times deleted. But
Vettel and Giovinazzi haven't been out yet. They've got no sector times.
Okay.
Russell's has presumably been deleted because he's got no time.
I did see him complete a lap.
Russell's got sector times, but no actual lap time. So I'm guessing it's been struck off.
See, I'm missing the commentary here because I'm sounding like Crofty. I have no idea what I'm talking about. Fernando Alonso's time is also not representative at all.
Not of his talent, but maybe of the Alpine.
Yeah, he is 13 and a half seconds off Verstappen's fastest time, but at the moment it's Verstappen who is top of the timing sheets, 3/10 faster than Lewis Hamilton. Then it's Lando Norris in fourth, 4/10 off Verstappen, with Leclerc and Bottas only really close behind. Then it's Sainz, who is the top of the soft tyre runners, in sixth. Then it's Pierre Gasly, Esteban Ocon, who are both on the mediums, Yuki Tsunoda in ninth, and then Fernando Alonso with his very unrepresentative time in 10th. But Verstappen on top again.
I think it's interesting that Leclerc has gone out on the mediums and Sainz has been put out on the softs, and Sainz has gone slower.
I think it just goes to show, like, the soft tyres really do sort of burn up, and maybe mediums are just a bit easier to sort of handle when you're just trying to take care of them sort of better over the course of a lap than the
soft. There are some people standing on a picnic table. Get your feet off.
Ooh, Chase Carey sporting the world's best handlebar moustache.
Oh, don't tell me that they're going to cut away from the nice picture of the Airstream trailer.
Red Bull have sent Perez out on his own on mediums.
Well, considering he has, well, he's not exactly, he's got a lap time to compare it to the softs. I think it's probably the best course of action for Red Bull, especially send him out on his own, make sure there's no traffic, nothing that could potentially interfere with his lap. But
this is where Mercedes send out Bottas just to block him.
Oh no, he's coming into turn one at the same time Perez was. Shock. could be an interesting strategy, but I don't think Mercedes will be doing that. They're probably going to be focusing on the fact that their drivers are just not topping the timing sheets at the moment. And I would have thought that we would have seen a little better from Mercedes.
I'm really surprised.
Yeah. But their form has completely fallen off. It's very weird. Although it does look like it's climbing over a little bit, so maybe that'll come back to them.
Could do.
After Spa, I don't even want to think about rain.
No, I don't mean like rain-wise. I just mean temperature. Like, it just
don't worry, Tom. It's definitely not raining at this Grand Prix.
Honestly, you know, real talk for a sec. How many times have we said, "Oh, I wish it would rain in F1," and then
it did, and then
it was like, "Okay, can we have rain, but not quite that much rain?"
Yeah,
I mean, I'm Welsh. I know rain. You know.
Do you know the Belgian rain?
It's like the Inuits who have loads of words for snow.
It's like 40 something words for snow.
Yeah,
they know. They just live in it
for the different types and stuff. Is it like that with?
Is there different Welsh words for rain? So Perez is now starting his fastest lap. He's actually managed to get ahead of all the drivers who are currently exiting the pit lane to set their second flying laps, I should say. And he has, well, he's gone green in the first sector. There's not really too much you can read into that, considering he hasn't really got a time in this session to really compare it to. But when Perez eventually gets around the lap, you know, would it be worrying to Mercedes if Perez is also able just comfortably beat both Mercedes?
There would be some alarm bells ringing, I think. But
I was going to say 100%.
Nothing to unduly worry about, because I think there is more pace in that car. I think they're thinking long game. I think they're protecting those tyres because they haven't come back out. They're looking after that second set of mediums that they've got available. I don't know if they use the set of mediums in FP3. Don't remember seeing them on them.
No.
So they're going to want a fresh set for tomorrow. So they might go medium, medium, hard.
Mm. Well, as it turns out, Mercedes have absolutely nothing to worry about because Sergio Perez goes
separately. For all the Acura branding that they've put on that Red Bull, it also still says Honda on the back of it. I've just noticed.
Yeah, there's probably like some contractual.
Yeah, the power unit deal. Yeah, I mean, Honda and Acura are basically the same company, as far as I'm aware.
It's just Honda's Acura's the American arm of it, effectively, I believe.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's why Acura are on the car this weekend.
Yeah, it's like Opel and Vauxhall, and then Holden in Australia.
You got GM and Ford as well.
Yeah.
So we haven't seen Verstappen return to the track. As Aaron mentioned, neither Mercedes have come out onto the track. Charles Leclerc, also in fourth, has also decided to remain in the pit lane. We're currently seeing Daniel Ricciardo go out on his lap.
He needs to put one on the board.
Definitely.
Yeah,
does.
Not a good first sector, though.
He's on the mediums. And I mean,
he's got a minute left.
Lando Norris, who is was sat in third.
That's not a small margin either. That's 0.3 of a second. That's pretty big.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah. I'd say Ricciardo, because he'll need to do a cool down lap. Like this, that's done for me.
I don't think
calling it now. I don't think he's going to make it through, unless that maybe he was just. You know, it could be, to be honest, that they're watching it through the first sector because the final sector, you know, is where you need to.
Well, he's gone 0.4 faster than Tsunoda, who is sat in 10th in the middle sector. And he can only put his car 9th. Considering where we saw them in Q1, that's a shock. Giovinazzi, who was in the danger zone, he can't go faster. Fernando Alonso here. Where is he going to put his...
I've just seen him put a... He's got a green second sector, but he's 8 seconds off.
Alonso's improving his time.
Yeah, because he was 13 and a half seconds off, so he's not pushing. I think he's just gone out for a bit of a stroll here. Ocon managed to push himself into the top 10, but Yuki Tsunoda has taken that place back, but we still got to see Vettel and Russell, who both have penalties, so I'd be surprised if they'll just be trying to get ahead of Fernando Alonso here. Which won't be difficult considering his time was basically a cruise lap.
It's squeaky bum time for Danny Rick.
And Louis,
whoever's ahead of me, please don't spoil it.
And I'm not spoiling it.
This is great for me. Still... I don't have to worry about that at all.
So Russell's probably not going to put in the time, is he? Because he's.
He might do.
No, he won't.
Yeah,
well, both Vettel and Russell have engine penalties coming their way. So,
having said that, he has put a time in.
Oh.
Which has been deleted. It just deleted it.
No, it's actually been deleted. So,
it doesn't. I mean, to be fair, it doesn't actually matter because you don't actually want to lock yourself in if you're in the if you're lower down, like, because obviously if you qualify in the top 10 but then have to take a load of penalties, you still have to then stick on the tyres and you don't get the advantage of strategy.
But as Aaron mentioned earlier, they're qualifying to see where they're going to start because they've all taken fresh engines.
True. Interestingly, George Russell's lap time was only 0.2 slower than Vettel. Vettel did his on the softs. Russell did his on the medium before it was deleted.
So, good news for Daniel Ricciardo. He did manage to stay in on those medium tyres as well, which is going to be big for his race tomorrow. So if we do a quick rundown of, well, the drivers who will be remaining and the drivers who are out. So Verstappen topped the timing sheets once again. Well, not once again, because it was Leclerc's time. But he was ahead of Hamilton. Norris in P3. Leclerc in 4th. Bottas in 5th. Carlos Sainz in 6th. Sergio Perez in 7th. I should mention they all use their medium tyres to set those laps. Pierre Gasly in 8th on the soft tyre. Daniel Ricciardo, as mentioned, on the medium tyre in 9th. And Yuki Tsunoda has made it through in 10th place. You know, that's, you know, given Yuki's season and given, you know, the ups and downs of AlphaTauri, I think they'll be pleased that they've got both cars into Q3 there.
Yeah, that's good from them, especially from Yuki. I know Ocon did his time on the mediums, but I'm not sure Ocon would have bridged three and a bit tenths on the softs because the softs just, for some reason, don't seem quite as quick. Mm. Which is odd. Maybe they are simply overheating or wearing out too fast through the first half of the lap.
Yeah, so the drivers who are out are in 11th is Esteban Ocon, 12th Sebastian Vettel, but he's got grid penalties, of course. Antonio Giovinazzi doesn't have a grid penalty, but he's just in 13th. Fernando Alonso in 14th and George Russell in 15th, but he had his lap time deleted.
So the back of the grid will look Russell 20th, Alonso 19th and Vettel 18th.
So, you know, it could be worse for George Russell, but he's got the two Haas in front of him who he'll probably make short work of in next to no time. So,
good practice for lapping them next year.
Exactly. So, Aaron, let's start with you. So giving us sort of the roundup again, Verstappen 3/10 faster than the Mercedes, this time on the medium tyres, not even on the soft tyres like it was in Q1. It does look advantage Red Bull, but as we keep saying, you know, what a Mercedes strategy, are they playing the long game here?
Yeah, they might even be sacrificing the pole position because it's on the outside of the racetrack and you can actually sort of dive bomb down the inside into turn one quite nicely. But it was a bit of a wham bam, thank you, ma'am lap from Verstappen, 3.333 faster than Lewis, who didn't go out again. I don't know if Lando improved when he went out.
I think he came straight back in. I think he did one of those.
But yeah, I mean, Mercedes have got Bottas currently quicker than Perez, which could be important for strategy. But at the front, it does look like it's advantage Verstappen at the moment. But Hamilton has got over 100 pole positions and not without good reason.
Mm. Wayne, oh, we've just got a comment from GMAC in the chat. If you do have any comments, any questions you want to ask us, make sure to put them in the chat. He's asked, could you see an upset with the McLaren on the front row? You know, we've seen Lando Norris in third at the end of that session, both McLarens looking very quick on the soft tyre in Q1. It's not completely out of the question. And with potential, you know, grip penalties for, you know, well, with a penalty for Bottas, could it be McLaren, you know, near that front row?
I think so, yeah. I've seen stranger things have happened. You know, the McLaren is clearly quicker than I gave them the credit for, you know, before qualifying. So I think we get 100% see it. You know, all you have to have is a couple of bad laps for Hamilton and Verstappen. Maybe they get caught behind a bit of traffic, or, you know, they just mess up, because it looks really, really marginal. You know, and you could have McLaren on the front row easily, even on pole.
Hmm. Right, Tom, I imagine you're looking puzzled at something that we have just seen or witnessed on the stream of Fernando Alonso appearing to cut the hairpin in order to give Esteban Ocon a bit of a toe. So he stayed behind him through Sector 1 not to give him any dirty air.
Yeah.
Cut the hairpin, open up his DRS to make sure he maintains the speed down the straight to give Ocon a bit of a toe down the back straight.
Yeah, I mean, it's Alonso. We shouldn't even be surprised anymore. I mean, you know, the Alpine team and drivers must obviously have some form of agreement with regards to giving a tow. That was cheeky from Alonso. I'll tell you what, I was looking more puzzled and more sort of, not even puzzled, but just like really about, was the George Russell lap deletion at turn 9. He was a fag paper's width. And for anybody listening in the UK, not listening in the UK, a fag is a term for a cigarette. I should point that out.
cigarette's width.
So, yeah. So it's the paper which people roll their own with. So I'm told. I'll just make sure I don't set my foot in it. There was a minuscule amount there when he was over that line. And I get that they have to enforce it. And it's just, you know, maybe it's a bit of tough love, but wow, it's strict. It's like really, really, really strict.
Otherwise, I'd start pushing it.
Yeah,
it's like the offside rule in football when they brought in VAR. You know, how far is offside to be gaining an advantage? So how far past the white line is, you know, you're making significant lap time.
Yeah. Football's the one where they cry a lot, isn't it?
Yeah,
someone's a rugby fan.
I was going to say you're a rugby fan.
I'm a Formula One fan. Welsh. I'm a rugby fan. Yeah.
So. We've just started Q3 now. The light's gone green. Mercedes out straight away.
I was going to say, they're not even chancing it with the traffic. They're just going straight out.
Red Bull bribing their time. So, you know, final session. I want to hear your guys' top three. You know, based on what you've seen so far in Q1 and Q2, and Wayne, we're going to start with you.
I'm going to have to switch it around now. It's probably more likely, you know, based just on what we've seen so far, it's probably more likely Verstappen, Norris, and then maybe Hamilton. Perez. I mean, I'm tossing up between Perez and Hamilton, to be honest, in that last spot. I'm going to go with Perez. I think just unless they've been sort of they've been really holding off, because you know the drivers are fast enough that they can drive things to a lap time. You know, yeah.
Let's see what happens, Ed. Aaron, what are you feeling?
I don't want to, but I'm going to go with Verstappen P1, Hamilton second, Bottas and Perez. Fifth and seventh in Q2. Perez had to do a second lap. Do you know what? I'm going to go with Lando P3.
Okay.
I'm going to throw Lando in the mix.
And Tom, who are we saying for you?
I'm going to follow the crowd and say, I based on what we've seen so far, I do think we'll see Max P1.
That wind's not insignificant. Sorry, there's wind across the circuit at 19 kilometers an hour, and it's a headwind into T1. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no. I was just thinking that because I think between Max and Hamilton, I think Max is more likely to. As much as I love Max, he is arguably more likely to make a mistake in the wind.
Mm.
You know, given how relentlessly consistent Hamilton is. I'm still going to go with Max P1. I don't know what Red Bull have done between the pre-practice sessions and qualifying, but you know, maybe they've like poured more caffeine in their drivers or something. But maybe they've had some of Bottas's oats this morning, but they're just absolutely flying. I'm going to go with Hamilton P2. I do think he'll do it. I do think he'll get close. And then it's a toss-up between one of the McLarens or Bottas for third for me. I don't think Perez will get there.
You going to put a name on it, or are you just going to leave it for now?
It's going to be my favourite driver, Lando Ricciardo McBottas. No, seriously, if I need to put a name on it, Danny Rick. He's going to channel his inner Texan.
So we've just seen Lewis Hamilton go across the line. He's the first across the line, so naturally he has gone fastest. But crucially, Valtteri Bottas.
Come on, Bottas.
Done a 1:33.4, and he's gone just under a tenth faster than Lewis Hamilton to take provisional pole. Lando Norris comes over next over the line. He is, but he's quite off. He's almost about half a second off the pace of Valtteri Bottas there. So all our prediction is looking brilliant at the moment.
It's all right. What's happening? The Red Bulls haven't made a time, so it's all good.
They haven't yet.
We'll fix it. They'll fix it in post for us.
So Verstappen has set a purple first sector.
That you would expect from that Red Bull. I just want to say, looking at Hamilton through the first sector, that it was incredibly bumpy. It was, wasn't it?
It was.
You know, maybe that's just the way the camera angle is. I mean, we've got a replay of Norris here, and you know his front wing's touching the ground at times. Oh, that's not nice.
There is a very fine margin at the front.
Yeah.
In line with in Tom's prediction, Ricciardo has actually gone a tenth faster than Lando Norris.
Yeah. Max is about to come over the line.
So I haven't seen it, so hold on. He's just going through turn 19.
We'll let Owain
talk through
the final bit. We'll let Owain talk through the next two ripples.
Sorry, squeaked.
Oh, goodness me. That's a big margin.
Did not expect that.
That's a big margin. Currently a big margin. Yeah. But somehow I get the four. What did he make up in the last sector?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Bloody hellfire. That's as close as I'm going to get to swearing, I promise.
the guy none of us tipped to be in the top three is currently first.
God, egg on our faces.
I mean, Colin Walker made this suggestion right at the beginning of the show. What about Perez? Perez is on there. It is fine margins. It's 0.019 of a second
but faster. It's 3 tenths between the Red Bulls and the Mercedes.
Where have the Red Bulls been hiding this? Because they must have... Like, what did they do overnight?
I don't want to know.
And currently, the teams are lining up in team order at the moment. It's two Red Bulls.
I was just about to say that. I've just gone, because they're all lined up.
I'm sorry, is this Catalonia?
Yeah, so it's the two Red Bulls, followed by the two Mercedes, followed by the two Ferraris, Sainz ahead of Leclerc once again, Ricciardo ahead of Norris as the two McLarens take 7th and 8th, and then the two AlphaTauris at the back, Gasly ahead of Tsunoda. As you'd pretty much expect, but the second driver's coming out to show the championship challengers how to do things here. Perez ahead of Verstappen, Bottas.
Now we wait for the customary break.
Yeah,
in the middle here. Customary
break. We have had a question in the comments, from GMAC, and he's going, "Who are you each predicting who's going to win the championship this year?"
I can't. I genuinely can't predict it. It's not possible. It's too close.
Is it who I think will win or who I want to win?
I think with your heart or your head here, either one.
Well, heart, Verstappen has to be. Head. Oh.
See, this is the thing you can't
do. This is the thing. Honestly, right. In Austria, I would have said, oh, Verstappen's got it. But then we've had such a shift in momentum and they are so close on points. I think... If Red Bull get a better result this weekend, I'm expecting them to do well in Mexico. Then after that, I do think it's going to slightly favour the Red Bull, the remaining circuits. If you look at like LaSalle, I do wonder if that's going to maybe favour the Red Bull. I could be about to answer you my words because I said Perez would be awful. I'm going to say Verstappen and I'm going to shut up because they're going back out.
I was going to say 4 minutes Aaron. 10 to go.
Yeah.
Oh, Hamilton's gone out in front of Bottas. That's different. They changed that.
I'm surprised. I got to be honest. I would have expected Bottas to go out and give him the toe.
Aaron, do you want to explain what's just happened?
No, leave it.
No.
Leave it.
Wait 20 seconds.
Yes, seriously, please wait.
While you wait, I'll answer the championship title question. My heart says Hamilton.
Oh, so, hang on. I've just seen...
But like Tom said, you can't put anything into this with your head because all logic just goes out the window. We thought this would be a Mercedes track, but apparently Red Bull are fastest.
All right, they've switched it back around.
And they gave Valtteri the old Valtteri, it's James message.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I said it was
going to happen. You can go past Hamilton this time.
This is the only time you'll ever see Bottas overtake Hamilton the whole season.
I said in Turkey that would happen in qualifying at some point.
To me, it's like, you know, these teams are going to pull every trick. Yeah, every team is going to pull every trick in the book at this point, these two. Ferrari did it over one place on a grid, you know, to Massa, so I don't doubt that I'm seeing this.
We're seeing... Red Bull have gone out a lot further behind than everyone else. They are making
proving themselves clear in the back,
and it's Verstappen ahead of Perez in the terms of the Red Bulls. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a Monza 2018 vibe where Kimi steals the pole.
And as I say that, I think
what from Q1?
Have they not? No, they haven't.
No, in Q3, where Vettel went fastest, and then.
No, sorry. When you said Kimi Seals Paul, when I said from Q1, because he's...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, that got lost in translation then.
So we've just seen Bottas... I've just seen Bottas cross the line, and here comes Hamilton as well. There's quite a big gap between them, so it's not like they've gone for a toe or anything.
You can't do the toe through. You need the downforce in sector one. It's sector two where you don't need it. So,
yeah. So maybe Bottas is a bit of a buffer for any traffic, maybe to get out of the way or just warn that Hamilton is not too far behind.
When you say get them out of the way, is he going to be bowling ball Bottas?
Maybe.
Hungry 2021 flashbacks intensify, yeah.
It's actually not a front wing that they put on the car. It's a big shovel.
So
he's basically got a snow... Yeah, I was going to say a snowplow. Yeah.
So neither Mercedes has actually gone faster in the first sector. However, Hamilton is still 9,000ths of a second faster than Perez, despite actually going slower. So it just goes to show how monumental his first sector was. This is going to be very, very close. I don't know really what to say because I don't want to speak too far ahead.
I was going to say it's inside a minute for me now.
I am 34.32.
Yeah, I'm 15.
Yeah, so yeah. if we just wait about 45 seconds, obviously, just to get everyone.
I'm going to turn the commentary up a little bit as well on my headphones.
I've heard all this sort of all the team radio, and I've like missed out on all of it because I'm like, I don't know. But apparently, Norris said something at the start of the session, but I've completely missed.
Oh, Hamilton's gone purple through the middle. I know
gone purple through the middle sector.
I know, obviously, that Perez...
He kept it well in the lines in the second-to-last turn.
So
I'm just going to say, wait.
Bottas has not... He's not finished the lap for me yet.
Oh, yeah.
No, Bottas has finished. He has completed his lap.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my bad.
I don't think he went any quicker, did he?
Tom, I can hear your...
I get that. Well, the Mercedes, like Hamilton, needs to hope that the Perez and Verstappen don't improve now.
Well, Verstappen has answered for the purple first sector.
Yeah, he's just coming up on the end of the second sector. Hasn't happened yet, though. Rain in the pit lane.
What?
There's rain in the pit lane.
I don't think it's really going to matter, though.
No.
It might do. I mean, I don't think, it's probably going to boil off, but still.
So is Hamilton currently fastest?
I think, honestly, the tyres are on such a knife edge. It's, what you take out of them in the first sector, you don't obviously get in the last sector, and you need them there as well.
Oh, and just let us know when you're done.
Yeah, we'll do. Hold on.
You want to talk us through Verstappen's lap, Wayne?
Yeah, he's just coming through the last corner. There's rain in the pit lane.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Where's it going to go? Oh, 0.2 of a second. That's...
Yes! Oh.
Wait, where's this... Oh, yeah. Perez goes third. Bottas, no. Wow.
So that is Max Verstappen, who takes pole for the 2021 United States Grand Prix. As I said, 0.2 of a second faster than Lewis Hamilton, who will be lining up next to him in third place. It is Sergio Perez. Fourth place, Valtteri Bottas, but of course, Bottas has a five-place grid penalty, which means he will start from ninth. Then it is the two Ferraris of Charles Leclerc and Carlos Sainz, who have done pretty well to out-qualify both McLarens, who sit in with Daniel Ricciardo in seventh and Lando Norris in eighth, and then Pierre Gasly in ninth and Yuki Tsunoda in tenth. Let's get a sort of instant reaction. Wayne, Verstappen, 0.2 faster. That Red Bull, that Mercedes just couldn't keep up.
Yeah, it seems that, something they, I don't know, yeah, like I've been saying before, I don't know what they put in the car overnight, but it's clearly changed it because, that we weren't expecting come the end of yesterday. But today, obviously, it's completely swung in the opposite way around to sort of a degree that I kind of feel that Hamilton was almost lucky to get second. Perez looking fast enough. He's definitely looking racy enough to be able to do it. I think, though, the thing we have to always remember is that points are awarded on a Sunday, and tomorrow that could all change. As we've said, it will be very easy for Lewis Hamilton to just throw it up the inside at T1. You can push people out. He's done it before with Rosberg. So I think it's still all to play for. But yeah, Verstappen just that, clear the Red Bull's clearly just selected another gear.
Yeah. Aaron, Hamilton's now sandwiched between the two Red Bulls. He's got Verstappen ahead. And he's got Perez behind. We're not used to seeing Perez usually backing up Verstappen like this. And with Bottas' penalty, this puts Hamilton in quite a precarious position for tomorrow's race.
It does, but if you wanted any Mercedes driver in that situation, you'd choose Lewis Hamilton. It was some lap, actually, from Lewis. I saw him pop in the purple middle sector. He hadn't improved his first sector, and then he walloped in a purple middle and went fastest. So he'd done everything he could have, because Verstappen, of course, had a lap deleted in practice for track limits. So had he made that same mistake again when it counted, Hamilton would have had the pole position. Yeah, Sergio got close, and I was kind of surprised to see him go third. But I don't think his overall Sunday pace will be quite enough to match Lewis and Max if they go at it. And to be honest, like Owen said, if you know, it boils down to it, really, Lewis might actually be happier with P2. It might be one of those strange scenarios like in Sochi where you don't really want to qualify on pole position, you want to qualify third or something so you can get the toe, and here you can get a nice big lunge on the brakes into turn one, brake late, force the other guy wide, and it's going to set up a really interesting scenario, which I've been thinking about as well. What is Max going to do if Lewis throws up the inside at turn one tomorrow? Is he going to carry on turning in, or is he going to go, do you know what, there's a long race ahead. I'm going to let you have this and I'm going to chase you down. Because it's the sort of thing Lewis would do. He'd give up that corner. He'd lose the battle to win the war. What is Max going to do tomorrow? Are they going to collide tomorrow?
I guess I could throw that question on to Tom. You know, we've got these two championship riders. There's six races left to go in the season. They're lining up to go into, as Aaron mentioned, a braking zone where you can just throw it at the inside. It's a tight corner. We've seen it happen before. I mean, Lewis and Rosberg. Nico Rosberg came together at that corner. Could it happen again?
Turn one tomorrow, because obviously obviously Max is on pole, but Hamilton has got the effectively shorter run to turn one itself. And obviously, if Hamilton gets a better launch, or if he gets better traction off the line, whatever, they could may well arrive at turn one side by side. Now, Max of old would have just gone in, just like zero Fs given, just straight into that corner. He'd have just battered Hamilton out of the way. But Max this year, I think he's going to be more likely to take a sort of more cautious approach. It's going to be interesting tomorrow. It's going to be really spicy on that first lap. They're either going to go in super cautiously, and I do wonder if Max is going to have his car almost at a 45 degree angle off the line to try and perhaps cover off Hamilton. I'm really sort of like, whoa, that Red Bull got pole.
Yeah.
that's why I'm sort of like struggling to find the words, because I thought Mercedes were going to have a huge advantage this weekend, and they initially did. And talk about a shift this weekend.
Yeah.
Fair play.
Picking up on your 45 degree angle point there, Tom, Lewis tried something similar with Kimi back in 2018, and he couldn't pull it off.
Yeah.
Kimi got the run on him.
Yeah.
More often than not, though, we do see it with Max. Max does like to point his car, and he does get very aggressive, especially like straight off the line.
It's the time you can get away with it, to be honest. You know, it's where sort of you've got those relaxed rules, but you are, you know, when you do that, I think you mentally signify in some ways that, you know, I think that puts you maybe a little psychological weakness, and also just sort of traction-wise, you're at a weakness because you've still got to center the car up to go up to turn one, and you're not using all of your car's like sort of power to go forwards. You know, you're using it to go slightly sideways, and it almost says to the other guy, "Well, I'm worried about you." Whereas, I think maybe if they didn't do that, they might be better off on occasions.
Yeah, it's because it's a late break, wide turn in. I mean, you take a risk at the start, but if you get a good getaway, you can sort of sweep in and just sort of hang it around the outside and straighten the car up early for good traction down the slope. So it could be a battle that goes into this section. And how many times, like the old Silverstone out, would you see two cars charging into Magus and Beckett side by side, just like daring each other to back out first?
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I think that first lap's going to be interesting because it's, you know, whoever gets through T1 first, and then it'll probably stay the same up until about, you know, until we get to the end of the back straight.
Yeah, I think it could be very interesting. Let's go to the comments. Connor Walker's done a nice summary for us on his source. He said, pretty epic quali. Honestly, didn't expect Lewis to give them a scare at all, but Max ended up being quite far ahead. And he also says, finally, it won't be Max defending against two Mercs. Seems like Perez is getting pretty comfortable in the car. When you consider Perez isn't great at qualifying, I'm counting on him ripping it tomorrow. He could still be a factor, as depending on his pace. Of course, with the strategy, the tyres, we still don't know just how well the mediums are going to hold on, whether it is going to be a one or two stop strategy. And if you want anyone to look after their tyres, you can... You're going to opt for Sergio Perez, so he could be a big factor in the race tomorrow. But as we look a bit further down the top 10 away, both Ferraris ahead of both McLarens. That's given how close their battle is. That's very impressive for them.
Yeah, with the pace of the McLarens that we saw earlier on in qualifying, I'm actually quite surprised to see them ahead. I thought the Ferraris would have been way behind, to be honest, compared to the McLaren, but clearly they've pulled it out. And, you know, that obviously puts them in a great position, particularly thinking about the constructors. There's still quite a few races left, but, you know, if you can sort of take the fight out of people beforehand, then obviously that's obviously a good thing.
Yeah, Aaron, you know, I think it will be Carlos Sainz will be the highest on the, I think on the soft tyre. So he could be, you know, at a bit of a risk. Maybe he could be used as a bit of a blocker. He's starting behind Leclerc, be a bit of a blocker while those soft tyres are fresher to hold up the two McLarens. But realistically, how long do you think he's going to be able to fend off them two?
Not a hugely long time, but Carlos is becoming very much like Fernando used to be, where he could almost make any strategy work. So many times you've seen Carlos, and I've said it time and time again, Carlos just stealths his way into good point scoring positions. So he might be the first one to pit on like lap 7 or 8 or something crazy. And then when he pops up at the end, having not been shown at all since he pitted, he's like 6th. And everyone goes, well, how did he get there? So he's the sort of guy who can deliver that. And you've got Charles there, who's a bit more of the X factor. And over one lap, the trend has been for Ferrari to be quicker on a Saturday. But come race day, McLaren have tended to come good more often than not. And the fact that they're so closely grouped sets up a really intriguing battle throughout the race. And how would they play the strategy against each other? And if there's shenanigans at the front, how's that going to change the dynamic?
Yeah, both teams are prime placement to pounce on anything that goes on ahead. We've seen it time and time again this season. But Tom, you know, Daniel Ricciardo, we've got to talk about him. You know, he scraped through into Q3 and then he's put it, you know, nearly a tenth ahead of Lando Norris. Pretty respectful effort from Daniel Ricciardo there.
Yeah, definitely. And if he wouldn't have had his lap time deleted for what was a very, 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 very minor infringement in Q2, he wouldn't have scraped through, because to be fair, he was on the mediums when he put that second lap in. Yeah, he's been really on the pace today in this session. You know, because so often this year we've seen Danny Ric where he's been, you know, knocked out in Q2. When he just made it into Q2 and just almost in Lando's shadow, but he's put Lando to the proverbial sword, today. And And yeah, it's been a good weekend for him this weekend. Maybe he needs to wear a cowboy hat and Stetsons every weekend.
And the mustache.
Yeah, it's the go faster stripes and the mustache.
the drag loss from shaving off the chin hairs makes all the difference.
I think the last time he went for a handlebar mustache, he DNF in this race and in an endless string of bad luck for Red Bull.
Was that when we had the clip of him screaming into his helmet walking down the pit lane?
And that's at Suzuka.
Yeah, that was at Suzuka.
Similar problem though.
It was sort of like in that. Oh, was that when he said, "I'm done, give the car to Gasly," or was that in Mexico that year?
I can't remember.
I remember him saying that. Yeah. Regardless.
Let's pray for a good result with Daniel Ricciardo. Is anyone, before we to wrap up, because it is 11:15 UK time, and I'm sure people will be wanting to get to bed. Has anyone got any final thoughts, anything they want to say about the qualifying?
Surprising that Red Bull pulled that one off. I think Mercedes will be scratching their heads.
Yeah. Right.
So the last thing, of course, it's a tradition on the podcast, something we have to do before we get into the race. I need to, quick as you can, let's go. Top three for tomorrow and a bold prediction. Owain, go.
Oh, God. I think Lewis is going to overtake Max at some point. I think that will happen.
Okay. So, top
three. Any difference of opinion there? I don't think Patrick's going to do it. No, he's too far back. Let's go with Charles Leclerc. No, Verstappen will be ahead of Charles. So, yeah, Verstappen and then Charles.
Okay, so we've had Hamilton, Verstappen, Leclerc. Aaron, your podium for tomorrow?
I so want to say that Hamilton and Verstappen are going to collide again, but after Monza, where I was grumpy for a solid 45 minutes, like stomping around the house about it, I'm not sure I can take that at 8:00 at night. So I'm going to say Hamilton to win, Verstappen second, and Perez third. I'm not sure Bottas will have enough to get back on the podium from ninth.
Yeah. Tom?
I'm going to say Max is going to do it. In fact, you know what? I'm going to go out there. I'm going to say Red Bull 1-2 and Hamilton third.
Fair enough. Honestly, I'm going to go a bit boring, and I'm going to go the top three is the same. I think it's going to be Verstappen, Hamilton, and then I think Perez is going to hang on for third. I can't really see Bottas doing too much from behind. Do we do bold predictions, or is it too late for bold predictions right now? Owain, chuck me.
Mine's easy. It's Bottas for Bottas to get on the podium.
Fair enough. Aaron?
Alonso points.
Alonso points. Tom?
Bottas behind the McLarens.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to go the two horses not to be last by the end of lap one. That's my bold prediction.
That's not bold because they've got about three cars starting behind them. Actually, no, it's Haas. It is bold. Yeah, fair.
It's bold.
They could just crash into each other.
Don't tempt.
So, for all the people who have stuck around in the live stream, or if you're listening later, that's all from us. But we'll be back to regular programming tomorrow. So join us at 10 PM UK time, where we'll be doing a normal race review podcast. If you're watching on YouTube right now, just know that we don't just live stream watch longs. We actually live stream all of our podcasts. They're all available to watch. So make sure to subscribe to the F1 Chronicles YouTube channel to listen to all of our podcasts early and as they're made. We're also available on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Omni Studio, Verbal, as well as the F1 Chronicle website. Just search for the F1 Grid Talk podcast. We have a huge back catalogue of shows. So if you're stuck for something to listen to between now and, 8:00 tomorrow evening, if you're in the UK, We have over 100 shows for you to listen to, not just racing qualifying reviews, but also interviews with people like Mario Zola from Pirelli, as well as more documentary style shows about Tiregate, Ayrton Senna, and the 1994 Benetton conspiracy. Also, if you leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, we will give you a shout out in our podcast. So if you did like this watch along and you want to give us 5 stars on it, please do. It's much appreciated. And all feedback, of course, is much appreciated about the show. Thank you guys for staying up so late to join me on this F1 watch along.
No problem.
Sorry.
Been fun.
So
obviously he's keeping it interesting.
So we'll see you tomorrow at 10 p.m. for the US Grand Prix. Goodbye. Stop the record.
That's what he's doing.
Interesting point. That is the first.